Get up in the evening feeling like Craig Thompson. Yeah. Grab my laptop, set up my mic, I'm gonna rant and rave some. Before I record, grab a glass of Coke and Jack. Cause when we begin recording, I know I'm not refilling that. Talking previewing all the games, analyzing stats and plays, laughing, poking fun at names. Jeremy reads and quotes Phil Steele zine, pulling up numbers and reads, starting to get a bit off topic, see? What? Don't stop, make it hot, yell about the games not. Chris will start a fight about the rankings tonight. Mountain West connection and the hot takes don't stop now. Whoa, 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 whoa. Whoa, 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 whoa. Don't stop, make it hot, yell about the takes not. Chris will start a fight about the rankings tonight. Mountain West connection and the hot takes don't stop now. Whoa, 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 whoa. Whoa, 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 whoa. We're biased against your team, and we make that clear. Don't get paid, don't ever fade, cause we're already here. Talk about hoops and football, cause we got all the swagger. Sometimes guests come on the show, but we never have Mick Jagger. All the writers cramping up, Matt's throwing his arms up, Kyle's got all the funny stuff. We go until SBN shuts us down, or Mountain West hunts us down. Mountain West shuts us down, nobody's gonna shut us down. Don't stop, make it hot, yell about the takes not. Chris will start a fight about the rankings tonight. Mountain West connection and the hot takes don't stop now. Whoa, 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 whoa. Whoa, 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 whoa. Don't stop, make it hot, yell about the takes not. Chris will start a fight about the rankings tonight. Mountain West connection and the hot takes don't stop now. Whoa, 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 whoa. Whoa, 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 whoa.
All right, welcome back to the latest Mountain West Connection show. Check us out, MWCConnection.com, Mountain West Connection on Facebook, MWC Connection on Twitter. Jeremy Moss hanging out with Chris Andres.
Hello.
Title. That's all the happiness I get. Your team is the Mountain West Conference champions, first time outright.
I am tired, dude.
I know. So am I. I wanted a little enthusiasm, but that's fine.
We've been celebrating all weekend, and by we, I mean really, I have.
Yes. Because I hate the Broncos, remember? Right? Or no, excuse me.
No, you just hate everybody.
I'm biased.
You owning the Mountain West blog, you hate everybody.
Of course. But we'll get to the games. We'll get to the – I got some interesting thoughts in the game because it was closer than people – kind of close. But we'll get to that. But since last time we spoke, there's a lot of news that happened.
There's been tons of news.
Coaching news. We'll get to bowl news. Craziness. Let's start with, I don't even recall what we spoke with, because you weren't even on the show when we previewed it with Jesse from Obnug, and then also our guy Matt Kennerly.
I was on the show.
No, at the beginning you were not. The first couple minutes you were not.
Oh, yeah.
Where we discussed coaching. I think at that point McElwain was, we recorded Tuesday, so McElwain was almost in Florida.
But he wasn't quite.
Wasn't quite. I think what it was that he, as much as we got was that he let Jeremy Foley, the AD, left on his plane to Florida. But by now, most people know Jim McElwain is the Florida head coach. Apparently, he likes to crack jokes a lot to the Florida media. So that was kind of interesting, I guess. Yeah. Being a cheese ball, which is fine. I guess it's better than no-nonsense Herb and Mitch and Will Muschamp, right?
Absolutely.
Old ball coach messing around, another second edition of that. I don't know. But here's what we know. Let's talk about the buyout for a second. Are you surprised about kind of how that went down? Because that was a late Monday night. I don't remember what other late night it was last week. Like around midnight, I wrote something really quick. There is a possibility the buyout of $7.5 million could end the deal for Florida for them to walk away.
Which?
I didn't buy it that much. Did you?
I actually did. Because they weren't willing to go into a bidding war with Ole Miss to pay Hugh Freeze $4.5 million.
Sure, he was kind of in the mix. Hugh Freeze was, I guess he probably played Ole Miss for Florida to get a better deal. But hey, do that, go for it. That's fine.
Yeah, absolutely.
But you really thought the deal might not get done?
I actually was thinking it.
I can see that because they left without McElwain.
Yeah. But then again, that's kind of was with Peterson's situation as well, so.
True, he made a Peterson, I believe it was, where he was like, he was really on the fence and had to, like, sleep on it.
Yeah.
But that was interesting. But here's the interesting thing about, I'm trying to find it here, but here's how the buyout went down. I joked around and people kind of messed with me, like, oh, the buyout, it's whatever, because it was the biggest buyout in college sports history, $7 million. The way it works out, Florida is paying $3 million with a buyout, $500,000 over 6 years. Jim McElwain's following Rich Rodriguez suit by paying $2 million of his own money for the buyout, which is almost a year's salary at Florida because he's getting just over $3 million. And then the other $2 million is coming toward a game in Florida. And all the talk about saying, oh, there'll be a game in Denver or Fort Collins, I just laughed at and said, you're fools, that's never going to happen.
Yeah, Florida never plays Western Mississippi.
They've never left the state of Florida for a non-conference game. I'm probably wrong on this, but I think when they played Donovan McNabb at Syracuse, and he's retired from the NFL, so that tells you how long ago that was. And I could be wrong, but it's been a long time.
No, I think you're right.
I think that sounds right, but I
think you're right.
And that was in the 90s? Because McNabb, yeah, ridiculous. But then also, here's the thing. I don't know if you saw this. I was going to article on it, but I was super busy today with bowl stuff and other work. But you know who Jack Graham is, right? The former athletic director who got fired?
Yes.
He was the guy who insisted on this major buyout, which was smart by him. I get it. People are like, why would a coach ever sign a buyout at a medium-sized or smaller school? Well, you get more money. He gets security by getting that as well. But here he put in this buyout where it's going to be – basically, whatever's left on the contract is what he has to pay, $7.5 million until 2018. And then Graham, he was a businessman. He played football for CSU. And there was a meeting on June 6th with Tony Frank where they technically put in language, which he was so much against, about saying the, quote, dream job where he can get out with no fee. He was so ticked. But did you know what was in the contract originally? Graham wanted $7.5 million buyout paid within 30 days. Pretty strict.
Yeah, it's fairly chopped up.
And he felt, which I believe he did, and I would agree that deal, even anything negotiable, would keep him in there unless they fire him, essentially. And he wrote some, what I'm reading in the Colorado, and he wrote an article or whatever you want to call it about how they should not have lost the coach because of that, because different reasons, of course. They adjust the buyout a little bit. Rams get the money, but they're getting it paid over 6 years. But it's pretty long. I'm not going to discuss too much. But the main thing is about that June 6th meeting and also saying the buyout was expected to be paid within 30 days, not 6 years.
So basically somebody's getting paid.
They're getting the money, but still. But also one real quick thing or two about the lawyer. Even though this is in place, his lawyer goes some kind of technicality. So what if this happens, even though they already agreed and everything was on it? But also, would you like to, for people who are under a rock, the big Colorado State news, that's actually very good news for them?
Yeah, some of that money went to a stadium.
Yeah, the stadium Jack Graham helped get started, on-campus stadium.
So they're going to officially build it, which means that they're probably going to be breaking ground sometime soon, right?
If what I recall, I think it's because it's on campus. Hughes isn't far away, but it's too far to – it's not walkable. It's like with Sam Boyd, like you said, it's kind of ways away off the campus, at least a handful of miles. But I think they're breaking ground or projected to in a year from now, and then they'll be ready by 2017 home opener.
Yeah, and there were some comments of, I hope they, you know, bury it a little bit in terms of, like, dig underground and then build the stadium up. And acoustically, that's actually much better. But in the place like Fort Collins, you know that whatever the designs are, it's going to look attractive. It has to go with the skyline.
So well, did you see our guy Joshua put up an article about it? He's been doing a good job for us with a bunch of coaching in the stadium. The rendering, it looks amazing.
Yeah.
And then one thing that changed with it, the thing about Graham, I think part of the reason he got fired, this is old news, but goes with the stadium. He was kind of pushing for all donation, public funding, no bonds, no student increase, no state money. They raised a good amount of it. I don't recall. I think they need to raise half of it, 125 or 250. I guess they're doing the rest with bonds. So that's how they're going to – if those are wondering, that's how they're going to finance the stadium.
And you have to think about it this way. I mean, this is where Las Vegas is trying to go with their downtown stadium. You know, they want to use as little public funds as possible and realize that that's not exactly – that's there's very little – stadiums have ever been built with not public funds, with only private funds. It just doesn't happen. So, you know, if you can minimize that public funding, that's good. If you can minimize that school funding, and they've just found a way to do it. But it still hasn't been completely cut out.
Yeah, plus people who don't like the stadium or don't care for sports, like, why do we have to pay for it? You know what I mean?
No, I don't think you quite have that issue at Fort Collins that you do.
Yeah, sorry. I was looking, I know it's me.
Are you starting to doze off there?
Almost. I was reading something like, I was just – this show's low. We're doing so semi-live, so I'm not going to edit this out. But I was reading something that caught me off guard. But yeah, public – it's if they get a stadium, that's great. That's amazing. They have it in place for a couple years, and – side note with that, we'll talk about it now because the playoff stuff happened. The only reason I'm gonna get to this because it's pulled up now. The Baylor TCU thing, they're not in the playoff. We don't need to discuss how that happened or why. But basically a title game's coming to the Big 12's way. And there's an article, which I get it, Coloradoan is talking about it. A window opened for the Rams to join the Big 12. A new stadium helps that, but they do not bring enough money to do that. And then there's better options for them to do that. You know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely.
Like, if they go east to Cincinnati, UConn, BYU out west, they're going to go east and west. I'd probably put Boise State ahead of Colorado State for even just money-wise. You know what I mean?
Oh, yes.
So that's where I was pulling that out. Well, let's get to the Las Vegas stuff.
Yeah.
Las Vegas. Oh, hey, UNLV. Your favorite coach has not been hired yet.
Yeah. Orgeron or not?
No, I mean, I thought your guy was Tony Sanchez.
Oh, my guy is not really Tony Sanchez. But
he's not your guy?
He's not my guy. I don't have the money for that guy.
Oh, I thought you said you wanted him to be the guy.
No. I said this isn't interesting. It's a good rumor.
Oh, okay. Maybe I misspoke.
Quite interesting.
And maybe I'm getting tired.
Yeah.
That might be.
I was talking with some guys yesterday, and these are guys part of my research group for my final this week. But we got to talk to Las Vegas football, UNLV football, and we started talking about the whole coaching situation. And basically, I didn't realize how much big money is in Las Vegas and actually in UNLV itself. So if you go to the fun Wikipedia page right now.
Ooh, Wikipedia. Wiki.
Always reliable. So list of UNLV alumni, notable alumni, so not myself.
Randall Cunningham.
Right. Randall Cunningham, fine. But you also not forget that Guy Fieri is an alumni of Las Vegas. Where's that money coming from?
His hair. It's going to his hair. That's where it is.
Jimmy Kimmel, UNLV alumnus.
But he supports the basketball team pretty well.
He does. As do the Killers.
I'm not sure if he pays money, but I know he's a lot of games and pumps them up on his show a lot.
So, but then you go a little bit further down. And you see that, look, a Maloof brother is an alumnus of UNLV. And actually used to play for the team as well. Mm-hmm. Where is that money? Why is that booster money not coming in?
They've been terrible.
Here's the thing about the Fertittas and the Maloofs and everything like that. You got a lot of money in this game. Nobody wants to spend it on UNLV because people don't like each other.
Well, there's that, like you told me before the show, the casino conflict were for, was it Fertitta, correct?
Right, right. There's casino
conflict.
But even if that didn't come from the casino conflict, I mean, you have UFC.
Also,
Fertitta's own UFC as well.
And why back a loser? Because sorry, UNLV football, but you haven't been very good for a long time or ever.
Fertittas aren't invested. They all went to They all went to Bishop Gorman High School. They're invested in Bishop Gorman money, which is what why it makes sense that Tony Sanchez they would back. However, if you look at their college ties, it's mostly to USC. Southern California, not South Carolina.
Hey, of course. That's only true USC. No, I mean, what?
You.
Hey, I will take. No, I'm going with that. No, what I'm. No, but why is that the case?
Why is that the case? What?
USC.
USC? Oh, that's because scholarship money and all that stuff, and they were sent over there. But like that.
Oh, okay. Okay. I'm just wondering.
Yeah. So, what else was I going?
Candidates. Who's like? We've had multiple interviews, which has been quite exciting and decent to big coaches.
And actually, it was funny because once again, this gentleman was brought up in the name as a good potential coaching candidate. How about June Jones?
I don't know. I don't know.
So are you being sarcastic? Because that's
exactly
what we're talking about.
No, I know. No, I don't like it. He quit on his team.
He resigned, but there could be ulterior.
No. He quit. He quit. He resigned, but no, he quit after two games, and I don't blame him. Look how bad the team is. They finally won their first game all year against UConn on Saturday.
Is that quick, or was there something going behind?
I'm going to quit. What would you say? What do you think? There's actually something there.
Look, people like June Jones don't just quit teams.
I know, but I agree with that. But it still seems odd that happened. And I would lean toward with what happened. Yeah, that might be the reason why.
Oh, I don't know. I mean, the other stuff is that, I mean, the other stuff is, you know, Orgeron has been interviewed. Nutt has been interviewed. I think whoever UNLV gets.
And Jim Fossil has also interviewed.
And early, Jim Fossil has also interviewed.
He's in town, so he's actually spoken with the athletic director there. Was it Tina Murray Kearns, I believe. Is that right?
Close, yes.
Something like that. It's a three-day, three-name thing. I'll get her name right. It is, or maybe not, Tina Kuncher Murphy. There we go. I got half right, right? Is that close enough with my terrible names and the way I say names? I hit a play button. Sorry, did you say something? Because my computer started going crazy.
No.
So who would you want out of those guys? Who would you pick? We also have Tony Sanchez, Bishop Gorman High School coach, who's in the mix as well.
You know, it comes back to when you come to UNLV, you're coming to Las Vegas. However, you're not going to be able to, you know, fully recruit even the Las Vegas studio. Your biggest talent is going to be Texas, California, but mostly Las Vegas kids. And you're not going to be able to beat people with spread offenses or whatever, so you need a gimmick. How do you gimmick? And I honestly think that, you know, while Tony Sanchez would be good for the team, because he's that Bishop Gorman. He's still a high school coach. He hasn't even served as a college coordinator anyway.
Oh, so you're coming around to my side of thinking about that?
I'm starting to come to your side around.
Good.
I'm not saying you're right, but I'm thinking more about that.
It's a big risk. I think it's a bigger risk than people are making.
But I think a huge passing with a lot of improvised routes, which is a completely gimmicky offense. A person who turned Timmy Chang into Heisman candidate and Colt Brennan. I think June Jones. Get June Jones on that.
I would say he has the. Well, what about Coach O? He can coach. He recruits high level.
He does recruit high. Coach O is a great recruiter.
Allegedly, recruits specific ways. Allegedly, in quotes. Right.
Coach O is a great recruiter, but Coach O's play calling is very traditional, in the sense that it's not a. It's not a complete gimmick. I think for UNLV to be successful, you have to do things that aren't going to be.
So run and shoot, triple option, pistol, extreme pistol like New Mexico?
Extreme. It's got to be extreme, yeah.
You don't think there's enough with recruiting prowess? Are they get a guy who can bring in players that they could do what Fresno State does or Boise or Colorado State, a mixture of.
I don't think so. Not UNLV. UNLV has never been traditional good.
But you don't think that could change? Or they get the right guy there?
It's going to be hit and miss, dude.
Okay.
I think June Jones would actually be a great candidate.
So that's who you'd pick number one?
I think that would be my number one choice right now.
Yeah. Understandable. So we move on to the games. Is there any other new? Oh, bowl stuff. You want to get to bowl? Announce where you're.
You want to get to bowl? Let's go bowl announcements after.
Okay. All right. You.
I feel like it ties in.
It ties in better that way, yeah.
So go ahead and start off with the game because I've got to plug in.
September 20th, we have not one, not two, not three, but four Mountain West bowl games going on.
Why are we talking about? No. Why are we talking about bowl games now?
Oh, sorry. I completely.
You
told me that 4 seconds ago. Sorry. We'll get to the bowl games. Mountain West title game. Boise State not covering the massive 23-point spread, winning 28-14 over Fresno State to win their first ever outright Mountain West title.
Still a dominating win defensively.
Yes. Yes.
Absolutely dominating defensively. Not dominating at all offensively.
Three interceptions and a block field goal is pretty good with the pick six. Not bad.
Yeah, but they didn't – see, here's the thing. They didn't need to dominate offensively in this game. See, Boise State only had 304 yards of total offense.
Yeah, and Jay Ajayi had less, well under 100 yards.
Grant Hedrick was only 9 of 16 for 155 yards through the air. However, he was 9 carries for 81 yards.
And Jay Ajayi had in the 70-yard range.
Yeah. J.J., 22 carries, 70 yards. His long was a 10-yarder, but he still got a touchdown out of it. His was – Ajayi's whole game plan today was just plug the ball, push the ball up. Yeah, it wasn't – with Hedrick inefficient, he wasn't inefficient because he was still completing 9.7 yards per attempt, not even completion. So that means every single pass he made was over a first down, which with the exception of very little stuff. Where Boise State's power really came in was you had Tanner Vallejo's, the 63-yard interception. You had Boise State score, I think, three times of its first five offensive game plans. But see, Fresno State absolutely controlled the time of possession. 35 minutes. They're almost 36 minutes to 24 minutes. So Fresno's game plan was just to move as slowly as possible to keep Boise's offense off the field. And it worked. The problem is when you move that slowly, you still have to score points.
And here's the thing. This game could have really been people are calling me a hater for Boise State, but this game could have been quite different if not for maybe three plays. That first off, the pick six right there, obviously to go up 14-0.
The pick in the end zone.
Yeah, the deep throw in the end zone, and the block field goal.
Yeah, I
wouldn't say – I'm not going to go out and say Fresno State would have won, but let's just say there's no pick six, and they still come out with 0 points. That makes it 21-14. I need to look up the, and they kick a field goal 21-17. And I don't have the drive chart, but if they scored points on that, did Boise State score off that interception, or did they end up punting it away?
Which one? Deion's interception?
The one in the end zone.
Yes, they did end up scoring.
So right there, if those three things will happen, it's a completely different game. But I'm not going to go out and say Fresno played great. Brian Burrell was very efficient throwing the ball. He just had three interceptions.
He was 66%. He was 332 yards. Because that's where, he was throwing the ball because that's all he could do. Fresno State rushing, they held Martez Waller to 23 yards off 15 carries. They held Brian Burrell when he tried to use his legs and scramble out. He only had 9 yards. And by the way, his long was an 11. So what happened on those other three? What happened on those other 10 carries?
Yeah.
Josh Quezada was the most efficient runner at 38 yards. They had 70 yards total. Jay Ajayi had 70 yards by himself on an off night.
Yeah, that it's.
So they're committed to the run. They were committed to offensive balance, but they needed something different. Burrell was getting the receptions he wanted, but Boise's defense, Boise secondary, played soft, playing everybody in front of him. Did you see the receivers break open at all?
Sorry, say that again. Did they do what moving?
The receivers break open at all? Score a touchdown?
No.
The closest that came was Josh Harper.
There was one that was underthrown that could have been a touchdown that was knocked down.
Yeah.
And you're late in the game when it was there. I think it was after that onside kick.
And there were at least another two passes that should have been picked off by Boise as well.
Yeah, they're getting their hands up. But
Josh Harper did his job. 10 receptions, 131 yards.
They got him involved a lot.
That was a long. The longest was 52 yards. You take that away, 9 receptions for 80 yards. That's a completely different stat.
But still, it's still good.
Oh, it's still very good. I'm just saying, Fresno's offensive game plan did not help their case, which is why we say 28-14. This could have been a completely different game, but yet Boise dominated despite not dominating by statistically.
Well, and they also in the second half they kind of just seemed to slow it down, even on offense a little bit, in my opinion. Not that they were attacking overly, but it just seemed like there was 1-3 and out in the first half, maybe two. Then there's like multiple possessions of Boise just punting.
Yeah, Sean Whale had 7 punts, and probably five of those.
Second half, yeah. I think 4 or 5 were in second half. It was a game where it seemed like Fresno was clearly out of it, down 21-0. That onside kick was a thing of beauty, and I don't know why Boise didn't see it coming, but I guess it bounced off a guy. And I think was it Greg Watson?
No, they saw it coming because they were prepared for it because the Jai had his hands on it. It was knocked out.
Well, that's what I was going to say afterwards. They saw it there, but it was a great onside kick. It's got high enough, got enough time to guys get down there to hit the guy who's going to pick up the ball first. And they end up with no points. Again. This game saved all Boise State for the entire game, and then Fresno made it quite interesting in the final 7 minutes.
And yet they still moved too slow to make it truly interesting.
Yeah. Well, after the onside kick is when it got interesting. 28-14 with 5 minutes left. I thought you never know. You know what I mean? That's enough time. The way Burrell's been actually moving the ball, what yardage-wise, what Josh Harper is doing, you're thinking, well, maybe there's a chance to make it a one-possession game.
Yeah.
Do you have anything else to add about the game? Because it wasn't too much. It wasn't overly exciting. The pick six was nice.
Yeah. Most of the excitement actually happened in the first until the onside kick.
Yeah, I don't know if there's that much more to talk about the game, really. We got one game today. Fresno was pretty good on third down, 11-23, yardage-wise.
What's good in these bowl games?
Wait, real quick. Also, I was almost completely right on my key to a game for Jai fumbling. Almost came through for me. Almost. He fumbled, but they recovered. Does that count?
It counts, sort of.
Should we get to the four bowl games, or should we say Boise State? How do you want to do this?
All right, so bowl games. The Mountain West had 7 eligible bowl teams. They got 7 bowl games.
Woo!
Let's start with The beginning. So, what you swing, 4 games on December 20th.
Let's go to that 10 a.m. local kickoff. That's exciting.
10 a.m. local kickoff is the New Orleans Bowl. Nevada at Louisiana Lafayette.
Oh, so a road game, right?
Right. Actually, Nevada's considered home in this game.
Well, come on. New Orleans, yes, Louisiana Lafayette, it's right nearby.
It is an essential road game. I actually like this matchup.
Louisiana Lafayette's a decent team. They're not a bad team.
Yeah, and Boise State blew them out at the beginning of the year. So it'd kind of be interesting to see which Nevada team shows up, because if the meltdown Nevada team shows up, the Wolfpack are in trouble. But if the good Nevada team, if the Nevada team that almost beat Arizona, blew out UNLV, shows up.
Second half of Colorado State and Boise State.
Yeah. If that team shows up, then Lafayette's in trouble.
Yeah, we don't need to discuss too much of the game. I think I have the early lines. I think I'm going to do some writing on this tomorrow because I'm exhausted today. But first off, getting 17 is a record. It's as many as the Big 12.
Yay!
There were 7 bowl teams last year, but Fresno State losing to San Jose State and not going to a BCS bowl game is the reason why only 6 went. And then also there's an issue if Oklahoma State, they beat Oklahoma, they got to the Cactus Bowl, that's a backup bid, just in the case somehow Fresno State were to upset Boise, that would have been a chance to get that team in there, but did not. I don't think the odds are right. I'm trying to find out a few things, but I don't think that's the case yet. But so next game, I don't have the schedule in front of me. I'm trying to pull it up here.
I believe the next game is the New Mexico Bowl. This is also an 11 a.m. kickoff local time, and you have UTEP at Utah State.
Utah State fell pretty far, man.
Huh?
It's a big fall for Utah State, 9-4 team.
Is it though? I mean,
you got the timing correct, you star. It's a isn't it New Mexico Bulls' last pick, right?
No.
Oh, maybe that changed. Actually, the kick is 12:20 local time, 12:20 Mountain time.
Sorry, 11:20.
Still, whatever.
I was right in a sense.
Sure.
UTEP
finished 7-5. They are in Conference USA. They played New Mexico and lost to them this year. Is that correct?
Yes.
No, they beat New Mexico 31-24.
They won it. UTSA.
Yeah, it's UTSA. They got beat out pretty bad by Kansas State. They got wrecked by La Tech, who's a decent team. But we'll talk to our friends over at Minor Rush soon about the game to see what they have to say. But that's where they're playing in the Mexico Bowl. Good for Utah State. They can win 10 games if they can beat UTEP, and I'm assuming they would be a favorite. Would that be correct, you'd think?
They should be a favorite, yes.
I'm looking at the lines now, but do you want to play guess the line if you know what it is?
I'm going to say Utah State -5.
I'm going to see if I can find it here. I don't actually have it up because the one website I normally go to.
The game. I assumed that you knew the lines.
No, I'm looking to see. They do not have – I guess the lines are only set for the title game, so that's about – oh, wait. College Bowl odds, 2014-15 bowl games. Oh, here we go. Oh, it's not up yet. Dang it. They have odds for just like the semifinal games. I don't think they have odds for the Boise State-Arizona game yet either. So I would say about 5 sounds about right. So next game is the – is it Las Vegas?
Next game actually would be the Potato Bowl. It kicks off 20 minutes after the New Mexico.
Wait, no, it doesn't. No, Potato Bowl is later. Your times are screwy.
Oh, sorry. Well, then Las Vegas Bowl.
This is on ABC. Big channel.
This is actually a really good matchup.
This is Colorado State with interim coach Doug Baldwin, correct? Is that the OC? Doug Baldwin, I'm inclined to say. I know it's Baldwin. Going up against former Mountain West team, University of Utah, who's currently ranked number 22 in the college football playoff poll at 8-4.
This is actually the best hope matchup that Colorado State could have.
Why do you say that?
Well, let's see. They get to go to the Vegas Bowl, which is the number one Mountain West bowl, except for the fact that Boise State went up. They get to a bowl game. And they get to play against a really good opponent who they haven't faced since Utah's left the Mountain West.
Yeah. Part of the reason Utah's there is because their basketball team's playing UNLV later that night. So that's kind of a part of the reason they wanted to set that up, which is nice because UNLV, Utah basketball should be a good game as well because Utes are ranked as well in basketball. This game, quick about Utes. Well, first off, with Colorado State, I think they'll be fine because with Doug Baldwin being the coach or the interim coach, he's the offensive coordinator, and he should be that. We didn't go into this before, but he should be the head coach, in my opinion. Just because he's leading the offense, look what the offense is doing. So I would say, here's the thing about the game. People are like, oh, Utah's going to crush them. Here's the thing that's going to be an issue. Devontae Booker, the running back for Utah, is probably, I don't think, has the Pac-12 announced their all-conference players yet?
No.
I don't know, but he's probably the first or second running back in the Pac-12, and the defense is really good. But here's the thing. Quarterback play is so inconsistent and not very good, and I'm a Utah guy, and I know what they have at quarterback, and it's not much. Receivers are okay, but here's where I think Colorado State can have an advantage, perhaps. For people who remember Utah in the Mountain West, they would always play man coverage. So you got the best receiver, Rashard Higgins, going up against some pretty good defensive backs, but if they're going one-on-one coverage, Higgins is going to blow by those guys 80% of the time. I don't care if you stick him up against the best cornerback of the country. He'll get his own and do what he wants to do almost. Okay, assuming Kerry Grayson throws the ball reasonably within range. So this could be – the Rams defense will have to play better, and we'll definitely get into this a lot more down the road, but I just think this could be a pretty good game. And like I said, a key matchup playing a ranked team in a bowl game.
I could go to a good bowl game.
You should be there, hopefully?
Should be there.
Should be.
But depending on us getting credentials. Next game. Potato Bowl.
The Idaho Potato Bowl.
And the famous Idaho Potato Bowl. Western Michigan.
Is it really that famous?
The famous Idaho Potatoes? Yeah. And
I know there.
The bowl game itself is 21 years now.
The bowl. Oh, yeah, that's right, because it used to be the Micron PC Bowl, the Road Rally Trucker Bowl.
Roadies Humanitarian Bowl, and it always started off as the Humanitarian Bowl. So, it's who survived. So, Western Michigan at Air Force.
Blowout?
Should be.
First off, we need to know, even if Kel Pearson's not playing quarterback, shouldn't be an issue, right?
No, absolutely not.
Or Jacoby Owens not playing, should be okay. Just can we make Weston still hammer an offensive player for this game? Just because? Just because.
But unfortunately, hey, Western Michigan is the Broncos.
Uh-oh. Also, wait, we need to be aware of, do you know what they did against Idaho? Did they try? Wasn't that the team that trashed the locker? Or not the Idaho? Did they trash some locker room somewhere in Western Michigan?
Yeah, they did. Yeah.
Who did they plan to do that to? Do you recall?
It was Idaho. They trashed their locker room.
Did they lose to Idaho?
No, they beat Idaho.
Why'd you trash the locker room? Just because you're gonna piss on a program that's terrible as it is and can't hold more than the NCAA required minimum to be an FBS program?
Why not?
Of course, I'm talking to the guy who hates Idaho more than anything, more than Brussels sprouts, right?
I like Brussels sprouts.
Oh, jeez. You're weird. Nobody,
I hate Idaho more than I hate BYU.
that's a tough one. You can technically, Brussels sprouts can be, you can make them taste good sometimes.
Okay, if you cook them right, yes.
Okay, we'll go with that. All right. So, what was Western Michigan's record? I don't have that in front of me.
They were 7-5.
Weren't they at one point in my top? I think they were in my poll for a while, for the mid-major poll.
Actually, I will tell you right now. Hold on.
I had them ranked pretty high for a while.
They're 8-4. They're 8-4. They're still ranked in my poll. The poll I just turned it.
Oh, I gotta turn that in soon.
Yeah, you only have 30 minutes left after that.
And cool. We're still recording, and I'm doing something else as I'm talking to you at the moment.
So, you know what? Maybe this won't be a blowout as such, but man, that's a tough pick. I mean, Air Force knows how to play on the blue against Broncos.
I think you're taking the Broncos thing a bit too far.
Oh, I'm totally taking the Broncos thing a bit too far.
We overreact, so.
Absolutely.
What do we got next? Because this is day one of bowl. This is four of our seven bowl games are in one day, folks. So buckle up and get ready.
Game number five is December 23rd. This is actually a very good matchup. I'm looking very forward to this matchup. San Diego State at home, but playing as the away team against Navy.
And you should be at this game. Is that correct?
I probably will not be at this
game. Oh, I thought that was the plan.
No, I had. Credentials have been applied to go to this game, but I don't think we can get out there and take a day off work.
Okay. Gotcha. Yeah. I remember last year we got denied, didn't we?
Yeah, last year we got denied, but, you know, we're a little bit bigger. The Mountain West kind of likes us now. Things have happened.
Yeah, they like us for certain things. If, like I said, if we had opportunities to go to the Mountain West title game, we would have been there on Sunday.
Totally.
Or Saturday, I mean, not Sunday.
Yesterday.
The other day. The day the game was played, which was on Saturday evening and not on my local CBS channel. Still kind of weird about that. Next game, what do we got next?
Next, so we're not going to talk about that game at all.
We are in the next game. Jeez. What do you think about Navy? Are they going to run over Aztecs? Is it going to be Pumphrey versus...
I think this is going to be the most... outside of the Fiesta Bowl, I think this is going to be the most competitive of all the games.
You think so? Because what Navy does?
Just because of what Navy does, you forget that Navy has Keenan Reynolds.
Sure. He's pretty good, right?
Yeah. And you have three running backs versus one in San Diego State. This is going to be a game where they're just going to run all over the place, both teams.
Well, Pumphrey's pretty solid. He is a...
And Chad Price. Chad Price is a backup.
Yeah, he's a backup. He's doing quite well. I don't know. I just think, Navy's up or down. Because they almost beat Notre Dame, who's fallen off the map pretty well, or pretty bad. But I guess you're right. That could make sense. I'm not going to go against you on it, but I think it's a possibility.
So,
and we'll get into more games later about this. It's just so early.
Yeah, we'll have a preview for every single game because we always do.
Yeah, well, I guess with the four games at once, we'll probably have a one large preview.
For long?
We'll see. We'll figure it out. We got things to do. We'll get to it.
Whatever. Fresno State at Rice, or rather Rice at Fresno State in Hawaii.
Fresno's going back to Hawaii, man. They don't play very well in the islands.
Well, and especially now since, certain announcers said something about, can we get Robert Kekaula on this game?
Is he going to call the game at some point at all?
No,
maybe?
He's not, but I mean, live podcasting the game with us.
I wish. We will get him on for a show at one point.
Yay.
It's not just his accent, but his enthusiasm is what I love.
Yeah, no, he's a fantastic announcer. And notice how we've segued from actually talking about the Hawaii Bowl into this. An awesome Hawaiian.
The
Hawaii team. So that shows you how much this game is.
Rice is in Conference USA. That's about all I know. They're from Houston.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's what I got. What did they go 7-5 this year?
Yes.
They got blown up by. We thought they'd beat Marshall, but that did not happen.
Second in the Conference USA versus Louisiana Tech. However, that last game versus Louisiana Tech, they lost 76-31. So,
not what you want, right?
No. So at times Rice has been very good. At other times, Rice
they can throw the ball a little bit.
Very bad. It's gonna be interesting just because both teams are away. They've both been fairly schizophrenic this year in terms of teams. That's all I can say about this. Fresno, what do you want me to say? Josh Harper.
Sure, Josh Harper.
Josh Harper, Martez Waller.
Hey, get them the ball, right? Is that what you need?
Brian Burrell, do not throw interceptions. That's all I can. So anyway, that was bowl game number six, right?
Yeah, let's go to the games that are not on, or let's move on. Sorry, I still think we're on December 20th, right?
No, we just hit December 24th.
Are we in the Fiesta Bowl yet? Is that it?
Yes, that's the last game we have. It's the Fiesta Bowl.
Ooh, Boise is playing Arizona.
This is a good matchup.
This is not a matchup I want to see
because I, frankly, am sort of terrified by Arizona. Specifically, Scooby Wright.
Yeah, he's one of the best linebackers in the country. He's very, very good, I would say, right?
And New Solomon was exposed.
Well, he's also hurt. That doesn't help.
And hurt. So let's hope he's okay for the bowl game.
Oh, else I got? That's – geez, when is that? It's December – or, I mean, December 31st, New Year's
December
Eve. December
31st, yeah.
So we've seen them before. Nevada's played them. And Nevada nearly beat them, but not for an early field goal and stalling – a couple early field goals and stalling in the end zone. But it did beat Oregon, so there is that.
There is that.
And my TV – so if you hear my TV, sorry, folks, it just happened to turn on. Let me turn it off here. Loved Brandon. But they beat Oregon, who was number two in the country at the time. But then if anybody watched a Pac-12 game Friday night, blowout city. Blowout, 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 blowout.
Rich Rod has taken this team to 10 wins for the first time, and I can't remember the last time Arizona has won 10 games. But at the same time, look who they have beaten. Outside of beating Oregon, you know, blow out UNLV, blow out or win close versus UTSA, win close versus Nevada, lost second Hail Mary versus California in a game they probably should have lost. And then,
but they're also 10-3. I'm like, how does a three-loss team get there? I was thinking it might be somebody else.
No, it's Thanks College Football Playoff.
Yeah.
You only scored 7 points versus UCLA. They lost 17-7, and then they beat Colorado 38-20. Barely beat Washington 27-26. Dominate Utah and beat the Arizona State in the Territorial Cup. I'm thinking this is a 10-3 team that could really be 7-5. So, they are beatable.
Yeah, they are. They're clearly beatable. Will Boise beat them, though?
In my homer pick, I would say yes, but...
Boise's been playing quite well, and Arizona has not been playing quite well.
Yeah. You got the way that they lost to Oregon. I mean... The only reason why they scored 13 points was because they scored a touchdown in literally the last play of the game.
Yeah, Yeah, that's how that kind of. I don't know. We got so many times to talk about these bowl games. It's something where we don't want to spend 10 minutes each game now to make this a 4-hour show.
Yeah, we can. We're probably going to talk with the SB Nation guys from Arizona, UA Desert Swamp, I think it is.
Desert Swamp, AZ Desert Swamp, yeah.
Swamp.
I don't know. I got anything else to add? I'm pretty. Oh, should we talk about San Diego State kicker?
I don't know how long have we been going on this.
Since yesterday.
I meant the podcast.
Oh, I don't know. We can just wrap it up now. Let's just say the San Diego State kicker is deleted stuff on Twitter that I took screenshots of, and he's just being a college kid, being a dummy. It's like, come on, relax, dude. All I'll say is don't lose to Nevada, Boise State, and Fresno State, and claim you should be in the title game. Is that fair enough to say?
Yes.
Okay. That's all we got tonight. Check out our shows, our website, mwcconnection.com, Facebook, Mountain West Connection, Twitter, MWC Connection, iTunes, SoundCloud, Blog Talk Radio, wherever you want to hear stuff, listen to us there. And, hey, we'll be back. I'm not sure when, but we'll be back for before bowl games and do some other football shenanigans on the site and on the podcast. We'll talk to everybody down the road. Later, guys.